All right, I want to talk a little bit about downtown. You know, I like downtowns. I like downtowns. But I'm going to tell you something. This kind of came out during the week, during Lucky's program. I didn't really get a chance to get into it very much. I've done some more research. And now I have this story I've put together called Why Downtown is Down and Out. Downtown doesn't look like it used to. Not when I was a kid. When I was a kid, you could go down to Woolworths and you could go in and you could sit on the stool and you could have a milkshake. You could have a burger and fries and a Coke or a Coke float or a root beer float. Those are all gone now. The barbershops and the florists and the small grocers that fed the downtown areas with jobs and commerce, they've all been replaced by condos and law offices and high-end restaurants to cater to a new high-income live-work base. My question is, how did this happen? Yeah, who is Brandy brought up a very good point. Mayberry is closed. Yeah, that's right. Mayberry is closed. How did it happen? What was the root cause for the demographic to change downtown areas across the country? I mean, from Augusta to Sacramento, the old hardware store has become the accounting firm, and the clothing store has become the bistro. You see, nationally, activist groups are protesting all over the place, Chattanooga and Louisville and everywhere. They're protesting and they're suing top to block and reverse the upscaling of downtown areas by outside investors. But they are wasting their time and they're wasting their money. They're fighting the wrong thing. I'm going to tell you why. Because they've been told this is purely a matter of racism. And they have been fooled because it is not. It has nothing to do with race. The first thing that caused this cleansing of downtown America is President Clinton's repeal of the last and most critical aspect of the Glass-Steagall Act. This allowed banks to purchase brokerage houses and was precipitated by a last-ditch effort to save the Lehman Brothers. Well, needless to say, it didn't save them from one of the most devastating bankruptcies in banking history. And that was only the beginning. It allowed national and global banks to buy up regional and local banks. You know, the banks you used to do business with. Like, I don't know, Third National Bank, like what used to be SunTrust Bank. There were all kinds of local and regional banks. And the lobbyists, they made out like bandits as the banks were able to extract trillions and trillions of dollars from every town and every city to a central location, like a giant vacuum cleaner. And then those funds were leveraged to more than $500 trillion in derivatives, creating an unfunded liability that absolutely boggles the mind. And as if that wasn't bad enough, the Obama administration passed another law called Dodd-Frank that outlawed the lending of money to business startups. And within 6 years, America fell to the lowest level of business startups in its history. Still there. Businesses with less than 2 years of continuous profits were denied access to capital. Now, probably the biggest reason for the Obama administration's failure to reignite normal economic growth following the financial crisis was this Dodd-Frank law. It not only didn't make the financial system safer, it all but killed small business growth. And a new study released by the National Bureau of Economic Research, the quasi-private think tank that serves as the referee for deciding U.S. upturns and downturns. Guess what they showed? The damage done by Dodd-Frank to small business was devastating. It was severe. The study, which is called, and I have the link here in my notes if you want to access, is called The Impact of the Dodd-Frank Act on Small Business. It was written by two economists, Michael D. Bordeaux and John V. Duca. It goes a long way toward explaining why gross domestic product growth under Obama was a mere 2%, if at its best, by the way, a full third slower than the long-term average. It was really, really bad. It just didn't have any way to recover because no jobs could be created. Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, which, by the way, Elizabeth Warren was a big champion of. It was passed in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis and was designed to safeguard the banking system. Really? Well, it appears to have made it more difficult for small businesses and entrepreneurs to obtain funding. And it wasn't a small amount, okay? After controlling for economic conditions and other influences, the share of commercial and industrial loans of less than $1 million at large banks, which is, by the way, exactly where small business would be borrowing, has fallen by 9 percentage points since 2010. That's like, that's poverty and devastation. Okay, the smaller banks, which mainly do only small business loans, they saw their loan volumes decline by 18%. 18%. I mean, the banking normally makes a profit in the 1 and 2% range on money that they're lending. Now, you got to keep in mind that they didn't have the money to lend in the first place. That was provided by the depositors, so that actually counts toward their profit too. But I mean, I'm talking about lending revenue. A 20% drop is just devastating, absolutely devastating. And this, and I've been making this case for a while, this is exactly why there's been this silent depression in the once vibrant small bank industry, and which has turned out to a depression in downtown areas. Downtown areas became ghost towns precisely because those businesses were blocked systematically from access to capital. And here's what happened. When in a few short years, the desired effect was complete. The price of inner city real estate fell to depression values. It did. And it allowed investors to move in and to buy block after block after block of the best architecture in the country for pennies on the dollar. And these investors had access to capital because they had many years of continuous profits, and because commercial appraisers were able to reinflate the values as though they were finished with new paint, new glass, wiring, plumbing, you know, luxury finishes, carpet, stain. Simply put, an old hardware store selling for $10 a square foot could be valued at $300 a square foot as high-end condominiums. And the millions of people that used to live and work downtown, they no longer could afford to live there. So they were pushed out into the older suburbs. A person with a high school education would never work downtown again, ever. Clinton and Obama were able to completely wipe out the American downtown demographic in less than 20 years. Well, change was needed. It was, and it arrived 2 years ago in November of 2016. Now, this may sound like a wonky debate, you know, a big pro-Trump fest, but it isn't. Dodd-Frank's destructive lending restrictions destroyed tens of millions of jobs. And what's worse, it kept entrepreneurs from creating thousands and thousands of new wonderful businesses. And there is no shortage of smart people downtown. There's no shortage of entrepreneurs, that people that know how to run a business, of people with skills in the downtown areas. They just couldn't go to the bank. So with a few deft strokes of his presidential pen, cutting both regulations and taxes sharply, President Trump has been able to offset Dodd-Frank's growth-killing rules, and already in less than 2 years has restored 3% growth to the economy. And it's probably more like 4.5%. By the time 2018 is revised, it's going to be close to 4.5%. Now, this recovery isn't going to happen overnight, but it is happening, and it will happen now that this confiscatory law has been moved out of the way of the average American.